Well, there's a difference between being hurt and being injured, obviously, and sometimes playing hurt can lead to getting injured. And I think somewhere along the course of the first few weeks, I had a partial tear in my groin, my hip flexor area, and I did that against the Broncos, and I thought I was just, like, I'd strained something, so I just kept playing. You know, I've had a million caution lights in my vehicle, and this was not one that threw me off too much, but I should have seen it coming. I'd never dealt with something in the groin or hip flexor, and it was debilitating. You know, you can't run, you can't play in this league, and if you don't have any propulsion or power through the ground, force through your feet, you're not going to be able to move people, and our job is based on moving and moving people.
So, Kyle, you had a lot of time to watch the Bears without you, and you had a lot of time to analyze what went wrong and why. You know, this season, going back to Bourbonnais, there was high expectations were so high, and maybe this wasn't, you know, maybe the weight of those expectations affected the team. Maybe there was other factors. When you look at what went wrong in 2019 for the Chicago Bears, where do you start?
I think it just comes down to it was a perfect storm of bad stuff going on. Obviously, there was a tremendous amount of hype around our team, which sometimes can be an unhealthy thing. Depends on the group of men. I think that our guys could handle that. We were highly competitive all spring and all fall, and it became clear to us that things weren't working out the way that we had planned. It was clear that things weren't working out as planned, and it's unfortunate, but there's only one winner in the league every year. So, it's, you know, the city is not burning. There will be a week one kickoff. The anthem singer will be there. You know, we do this every year. So all I can hope for is that there's health and success in years to come with the Bears, and I look forward to being a part of it, whether that's in the media or somehow involved up at Hallis Hall, you know, if they want me to do that. I'm down for whatever, but I won't wear another jersey and I won't have a helmet on again.
That's Kyle Long, who says he's now down to 280 pounds.
Yeah, from 350.
That's the story of offensive linemen in this league. That's just that is so common to be carrying an absolutely unnatural, unhealthy amount of weight, the amount of calories that they have to be consuming to keep that weight on. So many of these guys, the moment they walk away, almost by the time they've walked off the field for the last time, they've dropped 60, 70 pounds.
The big guys get small and the small guys get big, right? That's kind of how that goes.
Yeah, just what that does to the human heart, too. I mean, what it did to carry all of that extra mass just to make the physics work.
Saying that's the wrong thing to have on your heart. You'd rather have a timeout on your heart than the extra weight?
Yeah, well, it depends on the kind of timeout. Yeah, that
is hearing about this for the first time.
Yeah, the fact that it comes off so easily. I was talking about the former Carolina Panther, Jordan Gross, the great tackle for so many years, who dropped like 120 pounds or something. And
in what, a couple of months?
I don't know.
Wasn't Matt Burke the first one that we really saw?
No, the first one that I remember seeing were all the 85 guys. That when Kurt Becker came back to visit a practice in Platteville, and it was just this big, tall, thin guy, like a swimmer. I'm like, who's that guy? I'm like, Kurt Becker. I'm like, no, that can't be. I literally, I couldn't comprehend that it was the same person.
Thayer's like that for me.
Yeah, Thayer carried a lot, but he's a big boned guy though. He's a large human.
But I think, you know, if you didn't know who Tom Thayer was, like if you came over from some other country and never watched football, and I told you that this guy was a professional athlete, you'd go, okay, but you wouldn't pick football as the sport he played.
Hilgenberg was almost unrecognizable.
Yeah.
So many offensive linemen. Do you remember Ed Cunningham?
The name, yes.
Okay. The broadcaster, Ed Cunningham, the ABC ESPN football broadcaster. I literally, and I'm not making this up, I thought there were two Ed Cunninghams or two Eds Cunningham.
Huh.
Because he was a center for the Arizona Cardinals.
And Seahawks.
Who was signed in the offseason by the Bears. And he came to the Score on Belmont because he was interested in broadcasting opportunities while a player. And he was a massive, looked like an NFL center. This giant guy, as wide as the hallways, huge head, big beard. And then when he walked away from the game, he just transformed into somebody unrecognizable. Yeah. Dusty Dvorak.
Sure.
He's
dropped a ton. That's a good call.
I remember seeing him in training camp.
He's a massive human being.
Beast.
Huge.
And it just shows you how unnatural some of these human bodies have to be to play football at a high level.
Speaking of broadcasting, I think Kyle Long would fit into some sort of broadcasting role. I don't know if that's like game analyst or hanging out and talking or breaking down specific film or whatnot. Maybe there's an extra chair you can put on Lawrence's show after and before games, but that's seems like a spot that I'd watch Kyle Long get involved in. Funny dude. He's got the Twitch thing going on.
Yep.
I could get into that.
Yep.
I could get into Kyle Long breaking down some Bears footage and film.
And for those people who are saying Ed Cunningham never played for the Bears, no, he didn't play for the Bears. He didn't. He was signed by the Bears and was in Chicago. He was, for a period of time, on the Bears, but never suited up for them, never played for them.
Gotcha.
So you're absolutely right in that regard.
News of the day as we started the show was that Chris Bryant lost the grievance between him and the Cubs. He will be a Cub, or can be a Cub, for the next two seasons. I think we all tend to think, that having those two extra years of control makes the Cubs more likely to deal him. Indeed, that has been the conversation in and around Twitter. But let me just read this to you and get your sense of it, because I'm feeling all kinds of weird about how Bob Nightingale wrote about this grievance case and the ruling about it in the USA Today today. Here's a couple of graphs. The Cubs have told teams all winter that they're willing to trade Bryant for prospects and salary relief. They realize Bryant's value is enhanced now that teams know they will have Bryant under control for two more years. Okay, cool, got that. They also have a player who feels unwanted, underappreciated, and believes the organization openly lied during the arbitration hearing. Bryant is just one of three marquee players who could be traded before the start of the season.
With the arbitration hearing or the grievance?
So that's where I want to go back on. I mean, this is... If he is reporting then, like some others have, that there is not just this disagreement about his service time, but also what he was being told about his future in the organization or the way the organization valued him, that is a next step kind of conversation to me. Doesn't necessarily change the economics of where the Cubs are now, but if Bryant feels like he's been lied to, I'd like to also know when that happens, when they're talking about extensions, as Jed Hoyer told us just a couple of weeks ago, when they're talking about the arbitrations that have gotten him one-year deals.
No, see, I was under the impression that where there might have been a miscommunication was in their assurance that he would be in the major leagues when it was deserved, that they wouldn't play a game like this with him. When in fact they did, because they can, and that's what teams do and will continue to do wherever you collectively bargain the number.
Right.
If you're going to get an extra year, you're going to get an extra year, and they'll hide behind whatever they have to hide behind. I had assumed that some of that was in how maybe it was framed to him. It was like, yeah, as soon as you're ready, you're going to be up, or you'll come north after spring training, that kind of thing.
Yeah. And that, I guess the impression is that sticks with a guy. There also then has to, you know, that money talks. It does for every single player. And I still find it pretty difficult to believe that, you know, whether the extension was too low or whether the money was there or not, that the existence of a potential extension gets summarily turned down because they held you the same way every other baseball team has held a prospect. That remains difficult for me to believe.
I don't know. And also coming from Bob Nightingale, who's always kind of iffy on some of these things, I'm never sure. Just being honest with you.
That's fair.
We got a series of texts here from the 630 that say, former Fat here, played O-line at Eastern Illinois, overlapped with Jimmy G. Played high school at 220, ended up at 305 playing tackle. Said, there was something called skinny guys table, forced to eat with strength coaches until we downed three plates. It was easier to house it all and go outside and yak it all up. He said, I stopped playing after two knee surgeries, lost 60 pounds in 2 months just by eating normal. It's ACL rehab, limited cardio exercise options. But having a full Tombstone pizza as a post-dinner snack before hitting the dining hall for the late-night meal wasn't the worst thing.
Oh, God.
Man.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, we heard Leonard Floyd talking about how they wanted him. He had an alarm set to wake up multiple times per night to drink a shake.
Yeah.
It's special calorie
shakes. Hellacious. Players hate having to do that. For what it's worth, because we got to talking about the Bob Nightingale thing, Gordon Whitmire, and appreciate you guys texting this in, 67011. Gordon Whitmire has just written this up. Bryant won't get his year back from the Cubs, but the 2016 MVP will not get bitter about losing his grievance hearing against the Cubs over service time and immolation either, a source from Bryant's camp said Wednesday after the ruling was publicized. Chris is fine, the source said. He's focused on his workouts and preseason prep. Chris harbors no ill will whatsoever. Thank you, Gordon. Top notch. Well done. That makes a whole lot more sense than petulant star wants more money and is aggrieved by the thing that every baseball player has gone through, getting called up to the big leagues for the last decade now. Thank you, Gordon. Top notch.
Let me come back just real quick. Did you see what happened at the Duke Pitt game last night?
Yes.
It was hilarious and bizarre, and I've got a personal story connected to something like that.
Oh, it's going to be some good stuff. Probably an impression, too. It's Bernstein and McKnight on the score.
Listen for a Radio.com Sports Super Bowl preview special of You Better You Bet. Super Bowl Sunday morning, live on the score from 9 to 11 a.m. It's Nick Kostos, live from Chicago, along with Joe O and Danny Parkins, plus Chad Millman from the Action Network, breaking down Chiefs-Niners.
Just think that's going to be our Super Bowl matchup, Kansas City and San Fran.
Well, Joe O just said it. Ross Tucker said it in the first hour of the show here on You Better You Bet. You heard Scooch.
Listen in as the guys give you the best insights on making the best bets. You Better You Bet, live Super Bowl Sunday on the score from 9 to 11 a.m. The score is a Radio.com Sports Station.
At Byline Bank, they take pride in providing creative solutions to finance small businesses. Paul Scharfman of Specialty Cheese Company.
Each time we've had a financing challenge, the Byline people have said, I don't know how we're going to do this, but they don't say no. They say, let's figure out a plan to work together to make it happen. And by gosh, they do. Very persistent, understanding people. We tripled our balance sheet overnight.
Byline Bank. They make it personal and listen to what matters to you. Online at bylinebank.com. Member FDIC.
Prescription products require an online physician consultation and are only available if the physician determines a prescription is appropriate. Subscription required. See website for full details and important safety information.
Hey guys, good news. The outrageously expensive little pill that treats ED is now generic, which means you can get the prescription medication to treat ED at affordable prices. And Hims makes it extra affordable. You pay just $30 for a month's supply. And right now, get your first online doctor's visit totally free when you go to forhims.com/me. That's right. Free, zero copay, no expensive appointments, no awkward face-to-face conversations to get your prescription. Hims connects you to doctors online who can evaluate you and, if appropriate, prescribe your ED medication. And a pharmacy sends it right to your door. Hims makes it affordable, private, and incredibly easy. Nobody likes dealing with ED. Now, thanks to Hims, nobody has to. And that's really good news. To start your free online visit, you need to go to this exclusive address, forhims.com/me. That's forhims.com/me for your free online visit. forhims.com/me.
Hey, Connor McKnight here, and it's not just any other year, it's another decade, and it's time for you to stop putting off LASIK. Fortunately, the folks at Sharp Vision Modern LASIK are now offering all laser LASIK for just $495 per eye. Believe me, nobody wishes they'd waited longer for LASIK.